नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। I extend my sincerest gratitude to each and every one of you for being with us for our 2015 pilgrimage in Vrindavan. Special gratitude to my worshipable God sisters and God brothers, and to each of you. Gratitude. Makes the heart fertile so that the seed of prem, the bhakti lata, can grow. Within this Kali Yuga, in the world we live, practicing true bhakti, he will inevitably be challenged at practically every step of our life. Savai pung samparo dharmo yato bhaktiradhokshaje ahoitiki aprati hataya yatma supraseedati. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes that the essence and the supreme dharma is loving devotional service to the transcendent supreme absolute truth, Sri Krishna. True devotion must be without any elements of motivation, selfish motivation, arrogance. And true devotion cannot be impeded by any circumstances. Bhava Grahi Janardana. Because Krishna, he sees the very essence of our love. According to our conditioned desires and experiences in this world, there is so much selfishness, so much of an obsession to prove to ourselves and to prove to others that we are better than them. And in the material world, one who could really do that good is considered strong, heroic, and successful. But from a spiritual perspective, in whatever name you call it, it is all due to spiritual weaknesses. It is actually pathetic in light of the soul. And the whole world around us, in so many ways, is trying to influence us that we will be happy, we will be protected, We will be protected if we are successful in our mission of being selfish and egoistic. We want to be the enjoyer and one who really enjoys is considered successful in life. But in order to actually connect with the soul, we have to give up these tendencies. Seva means to serve without selfishness, unmotivated and uninterrupted. It is this seva, devotional service, that is our true nature. And even in spiritual life, these same tendencies can so much mislead us. Even in the name of devotion, our egos can triumph if we are not very careful. Rupa Goswami tells us how important it is to associate with devotees, and especially in holy places. Tatra tishtami narada yatra gayanti madbhakta. Actually, wherever the devotees are gathered together with sincere hearts to hear about, to glorify, and to serve the Supreme Lord, that is a holy place. Krishna is there. But the Supreme Lord has established these holy places for us to come together, to leave aside all the petty things that we think are so important in this world and dive deeply into the true purpose of our lives. On Kartik Purnima, 500 years ago, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally came to Vrindavan. This will be very much the theme of our yatra, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's visit. He arrived 500 years ago. And 50 years ago from this year, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada departed from Vrindavan. For the same purpose that Lord Chaitanya came here, Srila Prabhupada physically departed. In 1922, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, upon his first meeting with Srila Prabhupada, he gave him this order that you should take the message of Lord Chaitanya and spread it throughout the world in the English language. Many years later, Srila Prabhupada came here to Vrindavan to prepare himself for this impossible mission. And 50 years ago, in 1965, he left his rooms at Seva Kunj, where Sri Sri Radha Govindadev performed their eternal rasa lila, to go to Mumbai, and then to Calcutta. In Sri Mayapur Dham, he took the blessings at his Guru Maharaj's samadhi, and then he boarded the cargo ship Jaladuta. He crossed over several oceans and seas and continents, and 38 days later arrived in America. Today is November 8th. On November 8th, 1965, Srila Prabhupada was living in New York City. He was a guest of Dr. Mishra, who was a yoga teacher. Dr. Mishra gave Srila Prabhupada accommodations in his own room. And after some time, Srila Prabhupada was staying on the fifth floor in a little flat in Manhattan that had no windows, didn't have a private bathroom. That's where Srila Prabhupada lived. And today, 50 years ago, he wrote a letter to one of his godbrothers. If we read Srila Prabhupada's biography, he just had heart attacks. He was just living in a little town called Butler, Pennsylvania. He had recently come to New York. He was really living in poverty. But yet, in his letter, he wrote what incredibly good scope there was for spreading Lord Chaitanya's teachings in America. Srila Prabhupada would see even the smallest positive opportunity as something so great. He wrote that our Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, he wanted us to spread this mission throughout the world. And in his life, he did send people to the West, but they did not have much results. But I'm in New York, and I see there's great potential. And I see other people coming from India who hardly have any philosophy. And they have beautiful buildings. And they're getting followers. If only we had a building, we would be established in America. So let us work together. If you can send some people and send some funds to actually get a building. I found a really good one, and it's not much money. Then I could be the representative of Gaudiya Math and manage it for you. Have confidence in me. This is a wonderful opportunity. That letter was sent on November 8th. On November 9th, at 6 o'clock p.m., Srila Prabhupada was sitting in his little room, and all the lights went out. In fact, all the lights went out in that whole area of America. There was a blackout. 800,000 people were trapped underground in subways because they were depending on electricity. 30 million people were affected. It was huge news. Even me, I was just a teenage boy living in the Midwest, and I heard all about it. It shook the country. Just about 13 hours of no electricity, and the whole nation was shaken. Billions of dollars lost. Such fear. So many robberies and violence. In India, the lights go out and it's just like any other day. Anyways, after the lights were out for about 2 hours, at 8 o'clock, Dr. Mishra sent with one of his assistants a candle and some fruit. So they knocked on Srila Prabhupada's door. And the person who delivered the candle and fruits, he was later interviewed. He said, Swamiji was sitting so completely peacefully while the rest of the city was traumatized in fear and anxiety. He was just sitting peacefully, smiling and chanting Krishna's names. And Srila Prabhupada said, thank you. And he asked, what's happening? And the person told him, and Prabhupada just smiled and went and continued to chant. Not too long after that, Srila Prabhupada got the response to his letter. His godbrother told him encouraging words, in the sense that he was very pleased to hear about the scope of preaching in America and Srila Prabhupada's enthusiasm to do so. But he also told him that our math does not have the funds to send anything or anyone. Actually, in Srila Prabhupada's letter, he said, I only have 9 more days until my visa ends. And if you send me a positive response, I will stay on to serve. Otherwise, I will probably return to India. It was Krishna's arrangement. Not long after this, from that same little windowless flat that Srila Prabhupada was living, his typewriter, his manuscripts, and all his belongings were stolen. Srila Prabhupada had a return ticket to Vrindavan, to Radha Damodar. But he stayed on. He stayed on motivated by compassion. Because Vrindavan was within his heart. And he wanted to share that with the world. And then in 1971, Srila Prabhupada brought the first group of foreign people to Vrindavan in the history of the world. The Vrijavasis could not believe the size of the group of foreigners that were coming. I happened to be here at that time. Srila Prabhupada brought a bus of 40 people. And the town came to welcome him. And then the next year, at Rupa Goswami's Samadhi, Srila Prabhupada gave 1 month of lectures on the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, to devotees that had come from all over the world. Srila Prabhupada wanted to bring Vrindavan to the world, and he wanted to bring the world to Vrindavan. And for most all of us, it was that compassion and the sacrifice that was our qualification for being here today. We begin our 2015 Vrindavan Kartik Yatra by offering our Dandavat Pranams and our sincerest gratitude to Srila Prabhupada, to all of our previous Acharyas, and to all the assembled Vaishnavas. Our Vedic scriptures describe how there are 14 planetary systems within this universe. Among the upper planets, Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, Swargaloka, Janaloka, Maharloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka. The Earth planet is a middle planetary system. Above our planets, Swargaloka, where there is unimaginable prosperity and incredibly healthy, competent bodies to enjoy. There's no poverty. There's hardly any suffering, just enjoyment. And most people who follow religious processes, that is their goal, to go to these heavenly planets of Swargaloka. But above that are the planets of the rishis, Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka. They don't care anything about sensual enjoyment. There, their enjoyment is of a more subtle level. Even in this world, sensual pleasures, they come and they go. Money, sex, property, all of these things. But they can't compare to peace of mind or inner happiness. So on the higher planets, these great sages and rishis, they are very deeply immersed in this inner wealth of happiness. And the highest planet is Brahmaloka. But Krishna tells us in Gita, Abrahma Bhavanarloka Punar Avatanorjana Mamupechatu Konteya Punar Janmana Vidyate. From the highest planet in this material world, Brahmaloka, down to the lowest, they're all places of misery. Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi Dukkha Doshana Darshana. Because in all of these places there is birth, old age, disease, and ultimately death. But Krishna says, one who attains my abode never has to take birth in these miserable situations again. Beyond Brahmaloka, beyond this material universe, there is the Mahatattva, where there are limitless such universes. And beyond the cloud of the Mahatattva, beyond the entire material existence, is the Paravyoma, or the spiritual sky, or Brahmajyoti. And there within this spiritual sky, a place beyond birth, beyond death, beyond suffering, there are limitless spiritual planets called Vaikuntha, where various forms of the one supreme absolute truth eternally reside. And above all of these Vaikuntha planets, above meaning the highest place of the deepest loving relationships with the Lord, is Krishna Loka or Goloka, the abode of Lord Sri Krishna. Krishna tells in Gita, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham, that again and again he descends into this world, but only once in a day of Brahma, which is about 8,600,000,000 years, one day and one night. Krishna, in his original form from Goloka Vrindavan, descends into this world. It is described, Krishna told Sri Radha, his own Aladini Shakti, that I will descend into the material world, and you should also come with me. And Sri Radha said, but I will find no happiness without the river Yamuna, the hill Govardhan, and the forests of Vrindavan. And Krishna told, I have already sent them. So this Vrindavan within the material world where we are sitting today is none different than the eternal Goloka of the spiritual sky. Lord Brahma he performs tapasya and offers prayers to become a hill in Vrindavan, so that Sri Sri Radha Govinda and their associates could place their feet upon his head and he could assist the pastimes here. Lord Shiva, he also appears within Vrindavan on a hill just to assist in the pastimes. And Lord Vishnu does as well in Barsana and Nandagaon. And we read about Uddhav, a royal prince and Krishna's dearmost friend in Dwarka, who was praying to be even a simple piece of grass in Sri Vrindavan Dham. Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, the Devas, they all glorify Vrindavan as the most glorious of all places within creation. Why? Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita describes how Krishna, he is thinking that within the material universes, even the most pious, the most pure, and the most religious people, they worship me in my supreme majesty as being the creator, the controller, the proprietor. And serve me in a very subordinate position. But such majesty cripples the intimacy of pure love. In Vrindavan, the inhabitants think of me as their son, or their friend, or their lover. Vrindavan is a place where the sweetness, madhurya, of Krishna is so deep and reveals himself so intimately that that sweetness causes the majestic, all-powerful nature of the Absolute Truth to move aside. Krishna was thinking, according to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, that my mother, when she sees I'm naughty, for my protection, out of motherly love, she will bind my waist with a soft rope. And she will nourish me. She will feed me with the milk of her own body. And she will protect me. In fact, at every moment she will be worried about my safety. Because to her, I am completely helpless and dependent on her. And because she has that love, it is so powerful. I become subordinate to that love. And although, yes, I am the Supreme Absolute Truth, the controller of all controllers, the God of all gods, I feel helpless and dependent upon her. And my friends, the gopas or cowherd boys, they want to play with me. They joke with me. In their infinite love for me, they think me their equal. Sometimes we wrestle. Sometimes I win and sometimes I lose. And the gopis, their love for me is so deep that when they reproach me, when they chastise me in a sulky mood, all the reverent, those words steal away from my mind all the reverent hymns of the Vedas. In Vrindavan, Krishna steps outside his supreme role as being God to reciprocate with the love of his devotees. It is this mood of Vrindavan that Krishna descends to reveal to the world once in a day of Brahma. Krishna descended with his eternal loving associates, and he brought the supreme abode with him. Five 5,000 years ago, Krishna came at the end of the Dwapara Yuga. Rupa Goswami tells us that Krishna has four qualities that he only displays in Vrindavan, that neither the Jiva nor Brahma or Shiva or even Lord Narayan display. Krishna has 64 qualities, Rupa Goswami tells. And among them, the Jiva. Mamaivam so Jiva Loke, the eternal soul within the hearts of all living beings, has 50 of these qualities in minute proportion. 55 Brahma and Shiva, and 60 Lord Narayan. But the four qualities that make the supreme all-inclusive opulence of Krishna's sweetness are his flute, his beauty, his pastimes, and the intimacy of the love of his devotees. And all other incarnations are present within Krishna when he appears within this world. When Krishna performed his lila here, it was defined as the Prakata Leela, the manifested pastimes of Krishna. Krishna lived in Vrindavan about 11 years and 9 months. And when he went to Mathura, and then to Dwarka, and then he came back to Vrindavan to bring everyone here back to the spiritual world of Goloka. And then the pastimes here are aprakata. They are eternally existing, but they are unmanifested to the material senses. After Krishna disappeared from this world, his great-grandson Vajranab was made by Maharaj Yudhisthira as the king of this Braj Mandala area. Krishna's primary wife was Rukmini, who had a son named Pradyumna, who had a son named Aniruddha, and Vajranab was the son of Aniruddha. And he reestablished many of the holy places and established many temples and deities here. But as the centuries passed, again and again, various foreign invaders came to conquer this area of India. And Mathura, Vrindavan, they are conquered by various religions, conquered by various militaries, And in the age of Kali, Krishna descends as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it was he that reestablished Vrindavan for the world. Lord Chaitanya manifested his pastimes in this world, and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita tells there were three external and three internal reasons for his descent. He appeared to reestablish the principles of religion, as he promised in Bhagavad Gita, to annihilate the miscreants and to protect the pious. He came to establish the Yuga Dharma, Harinam Sankirtan, and to fulfill the prayers of Sri Advaita, his beloved devotees. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's three internal purposes was to understand the glory of Sri Radha's love, the wonderful qualities in him that she alone relishes through her love, and the happiness she relishes when she realizes the sweetness of his love. The absolute truth is one. But that absolute truth eternally manifests as two for the purpose of transcendental love and pastimes of love. Sri Radharani is the transformation of Krishna's ecstatic love, his Ladini Shakti. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes in great detail how Krishna, who is the supreme truth, the knower of everything, desires to taste the sweetness of Sri Radha's love. He explains himself that Sri Radha is Ashraya, she's the abode of love, and he is the Vishaya, the ultimate object of love. And how, in Sri Radha's love, she experiences 10 million times more happiness than he can experience. How Sri Radha's love for him is all-pervading, and there is absolutely no possible space for it to expand. But yet, at every moment, it is infinitely expanding. The gopis of Vrindavan, their love is completely pure, because there's no selfishness, there's no egoism. Everything, their bodies, their minds, their words, their lives, are for Krishna's pleasure. And even when they talk about their own happiness, it's only because Krishna becomes happy when he sees them happy. They are only happy for Krishna. And the great contradiction is, although they have absolutely no desire for their own happiness, Krishna gives them 10 million times more happiness than he himself. And of all the gopis, Sri Radha is the source. She is foremost. Krishna tells that without Sri Radha, I can find no happiness from any of the gopis. Here in Vrindavan, there are many places that reveal this truth. There is Sringarbhat. In the Raslila, Sri Krishna plays upon his flute, and all of the gopis, they detach themselves from everything only for Krishna's happiness. And he danced with them. But simply to increase Krishna's love, Sri Radha left the Rasa Lila. And Krishna left everyone only for her. In this place called Sringarbhat, on the bank of Yamuna, the gopas, the cowherd boys, when they would play with Krishna, they would decorate him with flowers and different minerals and leaves and peacock feathers. But on this evening of the Rasa Lila, Sri Krishna found Srimati Radharani, and it was there that he decorated her. Krishna personally picked flowers, and he braided her hair, he decorated her hair. He personally got various different herbs and cosmetics and jewels to ornament her. Krishna becomes the servant of the love of his devotee. Krishna left the loving exchanges of all other devotees to offer such simple services for the pleasure of Sri Radha. At Imlital, when Sri Radha left Krishna and he was feeling great separation from her, he sat and he chanted her names, remembering her. And his beautiful dark complexion became golden as he was totally immersed in his love for her. And when Sri Radha came and saw him with that complexion, she asked him, "How is this?" And he explained that in the age of Kali, to taste the sweetness of your love, I will come in this golden complexion your complexion. And I will share that love with the whole world through Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy names. Hare at Mansarovar, when Sri Radha was in separation from Krishna, she cried tears, and those tears filled a lake. And Krishna came there and there he humbled himself. He became a beggar of the prema, the pure love of Sri Radha. And the great Mahadev Shiva, he bathed there in the tears of Sri Radha to get his greatest, most intimate prayer fulfilled, to become a gopi and assist Krishna and the gopis in their rasa lila as Gopeshwar Mahadev. The various places of the pastimes of Krishna, which are very intimate and difficult to understand, give some glimpse into the nature of Sri Radha's love, the source of all love, the source of all devotion. Radha Bhava Duti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. Krishna, to taste that love and to share it with the world, appeared with the sentiments and the complexion of Srimati Radharani as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya made a garland with the holy name and prema, ecstatic love, and he garlanded the whole world without considering who was fit or unfit from a material perspective. He wanted to share the most intimate joy of his own heart with everyone. We were saying that 500 years ago, Lord Chaitanya came to Vrindavan. After Lord Chaitanya took initiation from Ishwarapuri in Gaya, in the middle of the night, he began to run to Vrindavan. But the celestial beings spoke to him and said, "You have descended into this world to establish the Harinam Sankirtan movement in Navadvip. So go there, and later you shall go to Vrindavan." Lord Chaitanya went back to Navadvip, and there he inundated everyone with love for Krishna. He took sannyas just to reach to people who were too arrogant to receive his mercy. He took sannyas so he could be free to go everywhere and anywhere with no other distractions. It was in Katwa, the day he accepted sannyas with his danda in hand, he called out, "I'm going to Vrindavan." And he started running to Vrindavan town. But Nityananda Prabhu, knowing the grief of his devotees in separation and knowing the Lord's heart, distracted him and redirected him to Shantipur. There, Sachi Devi and the devotees requested him to make his residence in Puri. While Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living in Puri, the thought of Vrindavan would awaken such deep prema, ecstasy. And he made so many attempts to go to Vrindavan, but his devotees would always have some way to keep him back, because they all were fearful, if he goes to Vrindavan, we may never see him again. And finally, when he began his journey to Vrindavan, all his devotees and everyone else came with him. There were literally millions of people following. He came to Ramakeli, where he first met Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. And they told him, if you go to Vrindavan with so many millions of people, you will not be able to appreciate. Better you go alone or with just one or two. So Lord Chaitanya took that very seriously. He returned to Puri, and with the permission and blessings of all of his devotees, along with one person, Balabhadra Bhattacharya, he began his pilgrimage. Kaviraj Goswami tells Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he would think of Vrindavan, his ecstatic love would increase by hundreds of times. When he was on the path to Vrindavan, it increased thousands of times. In his ecstasies, he passed through the Jarikanda forest, and there he induced the snakes, the elephants, the insects, the tigers, the deers, the trees, and the creepers to experience ecstatic love for Krishna by inducing them to chant the holy names. In a world where there is so much conflict, so much deep ingrained animosity between people for so many reasons, Krishna taught us that whoever we are, if we sincerely become the servant of the servant of the servant and chant the holy names, we could rise above all of these anarthas or unwanted things. The tigers and the deers embraced and danced together. Lord Chaitanya came to Varanasi, and there he met with Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar, And there he met Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, the son of Tapan Mishra. And from Varanasi, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who stayed about 10 days there, he continued his journey and came to Mathura. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami said, when Lord Chaitanya arrived in Mathura, the ecstasy of his love increased thousands of times. And when he was roaming through the 12 forests of Vrindavan, it increased limitlessly. When he arrived in Mathura, actually, on his way to Vrindavan, whenever he saw the river Yamuna, he would become so happy, he would jump in the river and sometimes fall unconscious. And in Mathura, he bathed in Vishram Ghat. And then he went to Keshavji, the temple with the deity established by Vrajanath, the great grandson of Krishna, at Krishna's birthplace, according to Srimad Bhagavatam. There Lord Chaitanya loudly chanted the holy names and danced. And thousands of people from Mathura came to see him. He called out, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And he induced everyone to raise their arms to loudly chant the names of Krishna. In that beautiful scene, one Brahmin came and offered his dandavat pranams to Lord Chaitanya. And the two of them danced together. After Lord Chaitanya brought that Brahmin to the side and asked him, from where did you get so much love for Krishna? And the Brahmin said, many years ago, the great Madhavendra Puri came to Mathura on pilgrimage. And there he showed great kindness to me. In fact, he stayed at my home. And I invited him for prasad, and he ate my prasad. And then he went to Govardhan and later established Gopal or Srinathji on top of Govardhan Hill. When Lord Chaitanya heard this person's connection with Madhavendra Puri, immediately he offered his full prostrated obeisances to the feet of this Brahmin. And the Brahmin offered his obeisances to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya asked, why are you bowing down to me? I am your servant. Anyone who has served Madhavendra Puri, I am the servant of that person. Lord Chaitanya is a sannyasi. This man was a householder. The Sanodiya Brahman invited Lord Chaitanya to his home for prasad. And the Brahman asked Lord Chaitanya, by seeing the type of love for Krishna you have, I believe you must have a connection with Madhavendra Puri too. And Balabhadrapada Bhattacharya explained how Lord Chaitanya was the disciple of Madhavendra Puri. When he invited him for prasad, he said, I will supply the ingredients and Balabhadrapada Bhattacharya can cook for you. The reason was this. A Sanodhya Brahmin was considered of a lower class. And no sannyasi would ever take food from the hands of a Sanodhya. But Lord Chaitanya explained, if Madhavendra Puri accepted your prasad, then what a great honor and fortune it will be for me to accept your prasad. And he quoted the beautiful verse, Mahajano Yena Gatasa Panta, that the true path to perfection is by following in the footsteps of the great souls. It is interesting, the first lesson Lord Chaitanya taught us when he came to Vrindavan. Is that our true qualification is not based on anything material. Saragrahi means one who seeks the essence. One who loves Krishna. One who engages in the loving service of Krishna. Is above all varnashram and caste considerations. Lord Chaitanya would often quote from the scriptures, Aho bhata svapacho to gudiyam. If one sincerely chants the holy names of the Lord, even if such a person is born of a most sinful family, Chandala, one is fit to be a guru for the whole world. One who is the servant of a true Vaishnav is worshipable. It was there at Keshavji temple that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established this principle once again. Bhat bhakta puja vyadika. That worship of a devotee is more pleasing to Krishna than worshiping of Krishna himself. Mathura is Krishna's birthplace. I'd like to speak briefly the story from Srimad Bhagavatam. Mother Earth, Bhumi Devi, took the form of a cow and approached Lord Brahma, explaining how much suffering she was enduring. Seeing her own children and her resources being exploited by selfish, demoniac, arrogant people. Lord Brahma, along with Lord Shiva and the other devas, they all went to the ocean of milk and offered prayers to Vishnu. And Vishnu revealed his plan to descend within the Yadu dynasty. Vasudev and Devaki were married, and Devaki's cousin brother Kamsa, to please his sister, was going to personally drive her to her new home. But he heard a voice, an unembodied voice. Kamsa, you are a fool. The eighth son of Devaki will kill you. So he was about to sever her head. But Vasudev, he promised Kamsa, every child I have, I will give to you. So they lived in his prison. And six consecutive sons Kamsa slaughtered. And the seventh child was Shankarshan, or Baladev, who took shelter in the womb of Devaki. And then, on the order of Krishna, Yogamaya transferred him to the womb of his eternal mother, Rohini, who was under the care of Nanda Maharaj in Mahavan. And then Krishna, by his own sweet will, appeared within the heart of Vasudev. And from Vasudev's heart, like the sun lights up the full moon, he entered the heart of Devaki. At midnight, Janmashtami, Krishna appeared from the womb of Devaki in his form, with four arms, holding the conch shell and the club and the lotus flower and the chakra, beautifully decorated with ornaments. And Vasudev and Devaki offered their prayers to him, knowing him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Devaki, as a mother, even though knowing he is God, still her motherly affection. Kamsa has already killed six of my children because he's so afraid that Vishnu will come. If he sees you, he may harm you. Please conceal your form. And by her wish, Krishna, or Vishnu, manifested the form of a little baby. Before which he told Vasudev, bring me across the Yamuna and exchange me with the child of Yashoda and Nanda. All the doors opened, and all the jail keepers fell asleep. And Vasudev brought Krishna across the Yamuna to Mahavan, where he exchanged with the little baby girl, Yogamaya, and brought her back to Mathura. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur tells us from his incredible realizations and knowledge of various scriptures that Krishna simultaneously took birth to Yashoda and Nanda in Mahavan and Vasudev and Devaki in Mathura. And Srila Jiva Goswami in Gopal Champu gives an elaborate explanation of the story of Krishna's birth to Nanda and Yashoda in Gokul. When Lord Chaitanya appeared, in this age of Kali, to give light, to give hope, to give the supreme benediction of Krishna Prema and Krishna Nam to the world. He performed the same pastimes as Krishna. In fact, there are so many harmonious features of the pastimes of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. We just spoke about how when the earth was covered with demoniac influences, Brahma and Shiva and other devas, they prayed to the Lord and performed tapasya for the Lord to appear within this world. In Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, Krishna's maternal grandfather, Parjanya, appeared as Upendra Mishra. Bariyasi, his wife, appeared as Kamalabati, and they gave birth to Nanda Maharaj. Sumukha and Patala Devi were the mother and father of Yashoda. Nilambar Chakravarti Thakur and his good wife gave birth to Sachi. Gorganodesh Deepika tells us that Sachi Devi and Jagannath Mishra were Nanda and Yashoda. And all the incarnations of God, they all entered into the bodies of Lord Chaitanya. Similarly, Kausalya and Dasarath, Devahuti and Kardama, Prishni and Prishnigarbha and Sutapa, Devaki and Vasudev, they all entered into the bodies of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi. Lord Brahma appeared as Haridas Thakur. The original Shiva, Sadashiva, along with Mahavishnu, appeared as Advaitacharya. And just as Brahma and Shiva prayed for the Lord to appear on the banks of the river Ganges, or Ganga, Sri Advaita and Haridas Thakur performed great tapasya, offering prayers for Lord Krishna to appear within this world. Kavikarnapur tells that Sadashiva, on the day of Diwali, he saw Krishna, this was 5,000 years ago, he saw Krishna dancing with the gopas, the cowherd boys, and he longed and yearned to dance with Krishna like this. So Krishna allowed him to come as a cowherd boy to dance with him. And later, as explained, Lord Shiva, Sadashiva, yearned to be a part of Krishna's beautiful pastimes with the gopis. And he was given entrance as Gopishwar Mahadev into Krishna's Madhurya Ras. It is that same Sadashiva who, as Sri Advaita, out of compassion for all living beings, he fasted, he prayed, he cried for Krishna to appear. And in answer to his prayer, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. Devaki, six of her children were killed. And how her and Vasudev were in such deep desperation taking shelter of the Lord. And in a similar way, Sachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra, they had eight daughters, and each one of them died just after birth. In great, intense mood of devotion, they took shelter of the Lord. And as the seventh child of Vasudev and Devaki was Balaram, an expansion of Balaram Nityananda Vishwarup appeared within the womb of Sachi Mata and was their first child. Krishna was born at midnight in a prison cell. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared during a lunar eclipse, which is considered very inauspicious. And because of that lunar eclipse, he induced everyone in all directions to loudly call out the names of Lord Hari. And as they were chanting at midnight in Mathura, all the demons, they fell asleep so that Krishna could go to Vrindavan. During the lunar eclipse, as everyone was chanting the holy names, Lord Chaitanya awakened them. And to attract our hearts, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he appeared in the role of his own devotee to teach us through his words and his example how to receive the true treasure of life, Krishna consciousness. Little baby Lord Chaitanya, when he would cry, he cried and Sachi, Jagannath, Mishra, all the relatives, all the friends, all the devotees . They felt such deep compassion for this child when he was crying. They would do anything for him. And when nothing could pacify him, they just cried out to Krishna by loudly chanting the holy names. And little Nimai, infant baby child, would smile. And such a beautiful smile. On a regular basis, he would cry. Just to attract all of them to gather around him to chant the holy names. This is the pastimes of Krishna as Lord Chaitanya. His devotees were not thinking him as God. Who is little Nimai, the baby? He's the source of Mahavishnu, the source of Narayan, the source of Brahma, the source of all that exists. But yet, he's attracting the love of his devotees in such a sweet way. Just to make him happy. They were crying out to Krishna and Sri Radha to bless this child with absolutely no conception that he is Radha, who has come to taste the sweetness. He is Krishna coming to taste the sweetness of Radha's love. And by his crying like a little baby, he was actually sharing that love with them. And through the Sankirtan movement, to share that love with all of us. When Lord Chaitanya was on his way to Vrindavan in Sri Navadvip Dham, in Sri Varanasi, he gave a simple analogy that he was like a seller of fruits. And he had so many fruits, the fruits of love of God. And he didn't find anyone there that was willing to purchase them. So he said, I will give them freely to anyone who will simply accept it. And he said, with my two hands, how many of these fruits can I distribute? And he requested his devotees, all his devotees, for all time to come, help me to distribute these fruits of love of God. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes tell us that he was an old man and he didn't know how long he would be living. But he had great confidence in the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his Guru Maharaj. And he requested all of us, please assist in receiving these fruits of love of Krishna, and to assist in distributing these fruits of love of Krishna. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first arrived in Sri Mathura, Krishna himself came back to his own birthplace from 4,500 years before and induced literally hundreds and thousands of people in Mathura to gather with him at the Keshavaji temple to dance and to chant and to experience Krishna Prem in Kirtan. And then along with the Sanodiya Brahman and Balabhadra Bhattacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu crossed the Yamuna to Mahan and began his parikrama of the 12 forests of Sri Brajbhumi. When he was wandering through the forests of Vrindavan, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells, first thing that happened is the cows were very attracted to him. And so many cows gathered around him and mooed and gazed at him with tearful eyes and licked his body. And Lord Chaitanya, in great emotion, he caressed each of these cows. And as Lord Chaitanya continued on his pilgrimage, all the cows followed him. But somehow or other, the gopas, the cowherd men of the time, tried to bring the cows back. And then the deer without fear, they gathered in a big circle around Lord Chaitanya and then closed in and gazed upon him with great love and licked his body, and he caressed the deers. The bumblebees, they were singing beautiful songs, completely attracted by Lord Chaitanya, and he reciprocated with each of these bumblebees. And the parrots were singing, and the monkeys were dancing, and peacocks were dancing in front of Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya was smiling. And all the trees and all the creepers, they all felt that their dearmost friend had returned. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reciprocated with all of them as his very dearmost friend. In Vrindavan, every living being, everyone and everything is most dear to Krishna. The flowers, the trees, the grains of dust. In the Vrindavan that we see with our material eyes, this essence is covered. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. But when we see Sri Radha's grace, that grace opens our heart to allow the true love of the soul to shine, then we can actually see Vrindavan as it is. To see Vrindavan as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has revealed to us. So as you are going to these various holy places, please be grateful. Every moment is so precious. Every moment in life is precious. And this is especially magnified when we come on a pilgrimage to Sri Vrindavan Dham. It's a time in our life to go very deep. To reestablish within our consciousness what our real purpose and value in living is, to serve, to please Krishna. Sam Siddhir Hari Toshana. So while we are here, let us not waste a moment. Absorb ourselves in hearing about Krishna, in talking about Krishna, in chanting the names of Krishna, in remembering Krishna, in worshiping the places of Krishna, and especially also in being the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. One of the greatest gifts of a pilgrimage is called tapasya, austerities, or hardships. Hardships really are gifts because they give us an opportunity to put aside our own particular concerns for the higher principle of devotional service. And by doing so, we make great spiritual progress. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they were living in beautiful palaces, Rupan Sanatan and Ram Kaili. But when they came here, they lived on the ground under trees. And whatever little they begged for, that's all they ate. So in our own ways, we come to Vrindavan to follow in the footsteps of the Goswamis. Whatever inconveniences, we should joyfully receive them. They're giving us a chance to transcend material existence. And when there's great crowds of people, which some of you may be experiencing, what a wonderful opportunity to be the servant of the servant of the servant. So let us accept whatever may come in this pilgrimage with great happiness. And it is that type of happiness that will bring Krishna great happiness. And in Krishna's happiness, we find the true treasure of life. At this time, let us all chant and dance with much gratitude. Thank you very much.